Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate. For just one moment, John is on another line. And we're going to welcome to our show right now, Bob Zadak. Bob, are you there?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
It's great to have you here, sir.
I'm here now, so thanks, Andy, for opening. I appreciate that.
Sorry about that, folks.
I got two of you guys. I better call for backup.
Yeah, there we go. There we go, Bob. No, you don't need backup. We're good.
Easy. Just say everything you say twice.
Yeah, there we go. That works. So, Bob, talk to us. Number one, talk to us about, first of all, we've had you on before, but explain to our listeners, who is Bob Zadak? And then let's talk a little bit about, you know, Rush Limbaugh, the fairness doctrine, things that have happened along those lines. And really, let's face it, you know, Rush Limbaugh did so much for even folks like you and I that are in radio that we probably wouldn't be here without him.
That's for sure. Well, first of all, thank you for asking me about Bob Zadak. I am the host of the Bob Zadak Show, which is a weekly podcast. We do a live show, so I don't get a chance to edit out all the dumb things I said, so you get a chance to hear them on the podcast. I broadcast live on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. West Coast time. It's live streamed nationally. It's the Bob Zadak Show. If you go to 860 The Answer, which is my flagship station, you can listen to a live show if that excites you. If you missed a live show, just check out the podcast. Usually the Sunday show hits on Mondays sometime around midday. And anyway, you get your podcast, you listen to the show. It's a solid hour every Sunday. Always have a guest. And no interruptions, no commercials, no nothing, just me and a smart guest. Both you and I will learn from our guest at the same time. And thanks so much for asking, John or Andy.
Hey, Bob, where is 860 out of?
Fremont, California.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's it going out there?
Well, that's a big question. I don't think you have enough airtime for me to give you a
good one. That's good.
Understood.
But if you like to watch a nice juicy recall, then things are going pretty well out here.
Yeah, and give us an update on that. I had somebody ask me today how that was, and I'm like, you know, I honestly don't know, but I got a guy coming on today that probably will. How is that effort going in California?
Recalls are always tough, of course.
Yes.
This is the dry run for Andrew Cuomo, hopefully. But they need 1.5 million signatures. They have 1.8 million, but there's always a lot of signatures that get discounted because they don't pass the test. So statistically, it's felt if you want to be sure it's going to succeed, you should have 25% more, but they have 300,000 more. So I think it's going pretty well. If you like things like recalls, then things are going pretty well, and we'll find out in a short period of time.
Bob, I know that
everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know it's really hard to obviously remove a Democrat governor in a heavily blue state, but do you think this could at least damage him politically and maybe restrain some of what he's doing? Because it looks like the Republicans actually have a couple of really good options to run against him.
Well, they do. Whether or not the Republican opposition, whether or not they are, by objective standards, a good candidate, it's hardly relevant in California.
Good
because
point.
After all, they're Republicans. So, I mean, you could be Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan would never get elected to be governor anymore.
True.
In California. And so, therefore, what I may think of their objective qualities is like irrelevant in terms of getting elected in California.
Yep. No, no. Well said, Bob. So let's talk about Rush Limbaugh. In fact, you saw, I'm sure, some of the things that were in the news today, some of the things that, you know, his late wife had to say. And despite what the absolute vile and just the absolute nonsense that's coming out of the left in regards to Rush Limbaugh, frankly, they only knew Rush on stage, which he had a lot of shtick. We understand that in the radio world. I don't think they really understood who he was off air, which, by the way, he was a great guy and did a lot of things, not only for the radio world, but for charities and things like that in general. And by the way, as I said earlier, did a lot to make sure that folks like you and I can even be on air today. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's quite interesting. And there's a wonderful book called The Radio Right. It just came out recently, which talks about the story of right-wing talk radio in America. And the whole history of radio in America is utterly fascinating. It all started, we don't have time to do the whole history, it started way back in 1927 with the National Radio Administration of all things. Oh, my goodness. But in a nutshell, the recent history of radio was when radio was first invented and became a medium to compete with newspapers, the existing medium for the news. When radio was existed, the government felt, well, there's only a limited number of bands, utterly moronic, but that's what they said or made up. And therefore, it is the government's job to parcel out the limited commodity of radio bands. So we are going to say you can't be on radio, or you can't have a radio station and a transmitter unless you have a license. The word license is the most hateful word in the language because it means permission to do something that otherwise is allowed, and permission from the government. So they started licensing radio. And the original act said, we're not going to give a license to anybody. You have to broadcast in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Really soft words that a government can use any way they want, and they use that to control content. Just imagine if you couldn't print a newspaper without getting a license,
right,
and you had to publish a newspaper. Right. It's absurd,
right,
but that's what they did in radio. Well, that was the way it was until television came, and that was all people were coping with that. Television comes along, and that becomes the new medium in the 50s. And people lost interest in radio. And radio became a crappy business. And it was left to small businessmen. All the networks weren't interested in radio anymore. They wanted to go to television. Okay, so now you have a radio station in Toledo, Ohio, and you're not making much money. Everybody's watching TV. So you want to get listeners. Well, who's underserved? Well, the radio was very pablum, white bread, boring, middle of the road. So who wasn't on radio? Right-wing flamethrowers. But there was an audience for right-wing flamethrowers. And the audience was served by radio, who filled the void.
Hey,
and
Bob,
you know what? Yes.
Sorry, if I can jump in here for just a second. Wasn't there also a real issue with the left had basically surged in dominance in academia, in the media, was starting to surge in entertainment, and people on the right were starting to feel like they weren't heard, like nobody was reflecting their thoughts back to them, and then along comes Rush.
Except that was only starting in the media, and only starting in newspapers, and
true,
starting on the campuses, but it was clear on television. So Rush comes along, and right-wing, Rush wasn't the first. He was just the best. These right-wing, right-wing opinion-driven personalities found a home on radio who were dying for content. And this became the Petri dish, and they thrived. And all of a sudden, they became influential. And now the left gets nervous. Uh-oh, and Kennedy was the one who got really scared because they started attacking his decisions. He didn't like it, and he discovered something called the Fairness Doctrine, which required radio to publish both points of view. And if somebody complained, well, Kennedy put together Democrats to complain to the FCC. And therefore, when the radio had to sort of carry, if you carry somebody on the right, you have to carry somebody on the left, well, nobody wanted to listen, so they couldn't sell commercials. And that became a serious threat to right-wing radio, indeed to the whole industry of radio. Finally, Jimmy Carter repealed the Fairness Doctrine. Reagan put the last dagger in the heart. And now we have radio without the Fairness Doctrine and a home once again for Rush Limbaugh and all of, and you and I, who are just Rush Limbaugh wannabes. We wish we could be as good as him. We aspire to be, but we'll never make it. At least I won't.
Yeah, no, you guys are, by the way, spot on this. And Gus, a question for you, Bob, along those lines. Do you see the left pushing once again to have something like the Fairness Doctrine, you know, reenacted to where they think they can then get another edge?
It's a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful tool. Look, Donald Trump played with it. He was threatened to pull. He started to threaten to pull licenses. He was actually imitating the left. He never went very far with it. He said a lot of things he really didn't mean. It was impulsive, but he played with the idea of yanking licenses. He threatened Jeff Bezos. Of course, Bezos pissed him off with the Washington Post. So he had his eye on the media when he got to be unhappy. So people in power, now the left, of course looks to stifle another point of view. It is nothing other than book burning in another form. If we think back to the Nazis burning Bush, yeah, burning books, to governments burning books, we are offended by it. But the Fairness Doctrine, which is a fake name, or attacking broadcast licenses, is just book burning in another form. Yep. That's what it is.
Yep.
You're worried about the message, so you have to, you can't compete on content, so you got to shut it up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bob, would some of the answer simply be to remove some of the protections these platforms have? Look, I understand. I don't have a problem with people putting what they want on their stuff, but the problem is if you're enjoying Section 230 protection as a platform, you probably shouldn't act as a publisher. You know, I mean, you probably shouldn't take people who are not violating any of your policies and throw them off just because you don't like their content.
I actually, believe it or not, I favor another point of view. I want the protection given to social media because I like the concept of social media. It gives more people access who otherwise wouldn't have access to express a point of view. Now, here's the main reason I am not concerned about what may or may not be censorship by social media of right-wing thought. Here's why I'm not concerned. Who cares what people say on social media? But here's what I mean. John and Andy, I ask you, how many people do you know who have changed their position from left to right or the other way because of anything they ever read or heard on social media? Let me save you the trouble.
Many.
It's zero.
No, I've actually known many, but go ahead.
They may have been very much in the middle, up for grabs, and not formed a strongly held opinion. I believe that the number of people who change their position because of anything on social media, they may change their position on an issue once in a while, but people just don't change their mind. Read Jonathan Haidt, a brilliant psychologist, publisher. He wrote some interesting books. He points out, as a result of serious scholarship, about 80 or 85% of Americans, of humans, are almost born hardwired one way or the other politically, and they will never change because they're hardwired that way.
Okay, Bob.
That means
Bob. Can I jump in here? Look, I'm sorry, but in my opinion, if you're going to act as a publisher, I don't want to protect you as a platform. And hoping that you, what you do will not affect anybody is probably not going to be enough of a hope for me. And by the way, I've known a number of people who have been persuaded by arguments on social media. And when somebody can literally limit one side being put out there, and I mean heavily limit and put all these, you know, warnings and stuff on their stuff and let the other side run free, that's fine. Well, you can do that. But I think maybe you shouldn't be treated with all kinds of protections.
Well, and I think, you know, Bob, to kind of reiterate what Andy said, and I guess I'm probably halfway between both of you guys, although if you watch Social Dilemma and what Netflix put out on what big tech can actually
it
do.
Heavily
and the,
impacts.
Yeah, the influence that they have, Bob, I think to some degree you're correct, and I do believe certain people are hardwired a certain way. No matter what you do, you're not going to change their mind. Although I think when you talk young people and even college-age kids where the mind isn't fully developed, does social media have a huge impact upon those individuals? I believe it does, yes. People like me that's 56 years old and I've formed an opinion, no, social media is not going to change my mind at all. But if I was 16, would it?
That there is, what about Parler? Where Apple did a terrible thing, Apple and Amazon, in not carrying Parler, but Parler was thought to be
right-wing
biased. And I say the marketplace will always find a home for competition.
Yeah,
and
sure, I agree with that. I agree with that. Yes, agree. And the problem is, Bob, our side, just real quick as a side note, and I've talked about this a lot on my show here, we've not done a good job of that. We've literally let the left sort of control those platforms. We've gotten on those platforms. We've used those platforms. We've publishers, whatever we want to call them. You know, we've played along without coming up with our own competitive game, if you would, and that's on us.
Do you want? Here's my question. Here's my problem. And if you can help me with my problem, I'm in your camp. I agree with you. The problem is, let's assume you go to the extreme, which some people advocate, which is repealing the litigation protections of Section 230. And let us assume that will be, if not the death knell, it will come close to snuffing out the life of Facebook and Twitter. Is the world a better place without social media, in your opinion?
No, actually, Bob, I wouldn't go that direction. What I would say is, if they want to enjoy the protections of 230, which I would leave in place, by the way, that they need to act as platforms.
Be fair.
A platform is a road. You don't choose what kind of car can drive on your road.
You just build the road.
Right. It's not like a radio station. A radio station, we are a God and country radio station. That's what we say. If you want to put out a anti-God and anti-country radio station,
go find another one.
Yeah, go ahead and do so. So, but we can actually, you know, but for instance, we're not allowed to censor the content of a political candidate if they put what they want, you know, if they put an ad on our station. We can't censor that content. And because of that, we have no liability for the contents of what the candidate says, right?
Here's my question. Here's the hardest question of all.
Go ahead.
Answer it, and you get a gold star. So now we have 230 protection, but only if you don't censor. Now,
Based on ideology.
Yeah, so now, who will decide if you, Mr. Social Media Platform Owner, who will decide whether or not what you are doing in running your business constitutes censorship? Who will decide? The government or somebody else? And if you want to put a government in charge of being able to turn off social media on the basis of their suspicion, then haven't you created a cure that's far worse than the illness? If you're going to put the government in charge,
yes,
like licensing media,
yes,
that's what scares the
yes
bejesus out of me.
And I
disagree with both of you.
You know, I don't. I agree with Bob in this case.
You're wrong.
Because you're
sorry.
The best way to compete with this is what we just said. Competition. That's the best way to do it. The problem is, as I said earlier, we have not done a good job of that. Bob, I got to run. I apologize. We're up against a break. I appreciate it. It's always a joy having you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having
me. You bet. Take care, Bob. Ascent Health Center is coming up next, folks. And Dr. Julie would love to help you with any need you've got when it comes to your particular health. And again, it could be anything from not sleeping well to gaining weight to just not feeling well, lethargic, whatever it happens to be. Give her a call today. Find her at AscentHealthCenter.com or 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy. But you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
All right, Franktown Firearms folks, where whether you're a first-time gun buyer or somebody that owns a lot, I say this all the time, they're well-stocked, they've got ammo, they've got training, and right now about a 30-minute wait to buy a gun, which is really down from what it's been here the past few weeks. So buy a gun today, 720-770-7777, or again, find them at klzradio.com.
Learn how to shoot with confidence at Franktown Firearms. Head trainer Karen Murray goes above and beyond Colorado state requirements in every course, from basic to advanced to tactical, providing practical training for real-world scenarios. Although the state of Colorado does not require lane time for CCW courses, you will shoot on the range during every class at Franktown because Karen believes your defensive shooting skills require practice. Classes are always small enough that everyone gets the instruction they need. For both members and non-members, the price of your class includes gun rentals, and the team at Franktown Firearms always keeps ammo in stock for you to purchase. Bring your own gun or rent one for no extra charge so you can try before you buy. Members receive a discount on all classes. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Your company is bleeding time and money, and John Rush will find those leaks. You're too stuck in day-to-day weeds to step back and see the big picture. You need a qualified, experienced business coach to take stock of your expenses and see where you and your employees are wasting time and money. John firmly believes that every business owner needs a coach because you're too close to the situation to be objective. Email John now and make more money. John at RushToReason.com.
Does the reaction disruption to the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus have you a little stressed? You are not alone. A recent stress survey shows that 78% of Americans report that the coronavirus scamdemic is a significant source of stress. What to do? Kim Munson here. Wednesday, expert on human dynamics, Sue Kinfield shares her strategies to help you maintain your resilience during these unpredictable and uncertain times. Lauren Levy, owner of Polygon Financial Group, updates us on mortgage interest rates. All this Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out? A gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at KimMunson.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, and Charlie. All right, back to what we were talking about with Bob when it comes to, you know, platforms and publishers and so on, which, you know, I'm a little more on his side of the fence because I still think that just natural competition is what needs to happen.
Nope.
Although I do believe, let me finish, although I do believe we need a gatekeeper of sorts to make sure that the playing field is fair. Although this is the one thing I do know about social media that becomes very, very difficult, and that is how do you control all of the things going on in social media to make sure that it's fair on each platform.
Okay.
That's where it becomes tough.
Here's the problem. Here's why none of that works. Okay. Because the very gatekeeper, the government, you have to have a referee. Okay. The government has to have a role somewhere. Okay. otherwise don't grant any protections, because it's the government that's granting them protections.
Agreed.
From legality.
Agreed.
That's the whole reason the government's involved.
I understand.
If they didn't provide that protection,
they wouldn't be there.
Exactly.
I understand.
Okay. Now, the very, you know, he's thinking that, well, other people can just put out their platforms, right? And those platforms can compete with Facebook. And so, okay,
right.
Here's the big problem with that. The very government that would decide whether or not Facebook or Twitter deserves 230 protection could also say this other platform cannot get 230 protection, and here's why. Because we believe that they're biased. We believe they're acting as publishers, not a platform. Therefore,
so what's your answer?
The answer is that if you want to have 230 protection, then you need to operate as a platform, not a publisher.
But you're not answering my question. So
no,
how do you check the algorithms, yeah, and do
I'm
all the things
there.
You need to do to make sure that happens?
I'm getting there. Okay. I'm first just laying out what is the standard.
And by the way, I don't disagree with that. My point is...
Yeah, but he didn't want that standard.
What's the how?
Okay.
That's my question. Because the how is a lot bigger than most people think.
Yeah. I'm just saying, first of all, you wouldn't have conservative platforms come up and enjoy the same 230 protection. They'd be thrown out.
No, okay. I disagree with you, but that's okay. Keep going.
They would be.
Keep going.
Absolutely.
You're fine. Keep going.
Okay. Because the same government would simply say you're acting as a publisher, not a platform. Now, what they need to do is simply say this. In your algorithms... And in your things, all you can do is put out a standard, okay, and say it can be an obscenity, violence, and so forth.
Right.
And then you have to apply that across the board equally, regardless of ideology. But that standard of violence, if you apply that violence and obscenity across the board, regardless of ideology, guess what you're going to do? You're going to take out all the danger and threat of what happens on your platform.
Right.
You're going to be fine. Facebook and Twitter aren't doing that. They're acting as publishers.
Oh, agree. No, and I'm not denying that with you. I agree.
And because of that, they should have their 230 protection pulled immediately. And they should. And that is the answer of what to do. Pull their protection. Get it away and say, hey, you can have the protection right back. You just got to go to these standards. The standard is no ideological test. It's very simple. Not, oh, gee, golly, you can go ahead and do ideological tests, but we'll let other platforms come up.
So who becomes the policeman of that then? How do you do that?
Oh, it has to be the government. It has to be, and you could say, well, but the government's biased. Right, exactly. And the exact same biased government would deny other platforms the right to be to
see,
call themselves
the only way
platforms.
I see that working is you'd have to have some sort of a, and I know this would be a big task, but you'd almost have to have some sort of an independent board made up of, you know, equal amount of ideologies, if you would, to be the board that somebody with a complaint could go to and say, I put this post up, they took it down. It based upon ideology, not any of the things that they claim, you know, violated their standards.
Right. Here's the thing. Right now, what you have is these social media platforms are not being called to any standard. Okay?
Not denying that.
Okay. They're not being called to any. The problem right now, John, is not that the government's doing a biased job of imposing the standard. The problem is they're not imposing any standard.
Agree.
Okay, so if we put them back on the standard of a platform, which has been totally thrown out, and say, we're going to hold you to the standard of a platform. If you want to have the protections of a platform, then you have the standard. This is why they're totally different from a radio station. We don't have that protection. They do, okay? So if you want to be held, if you want the protections of a standard, then you must operate under the platform of a, you know, I'm sorry, if you want the protections of the platform,
you got to operate as such.
Operate as such. There has been no
agree
standard put on them. So the question is, well, oh, okay, the second we have that standard applied on them, it's going to obliterate social media.
Do you want my answer as
it's
to
not gonna
why?
Obliterate social media. It's going to unleash it.
Do you want my answer as to why we don't do this?
Well, go ahead. Why?
Hold that thought. I'll answer when I come back.
Okay.
Okay, we'll come right back and I'll answer that. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next, folks. Kurt Rogers would love to help you out with any mortgage needs you've got, whether you're looking at a second home, refinancing your current home, refinancing that mortgage, buying a rental property, whatever. You name it, Kurt can help. 720-895-0500. Again, 720-895-0500. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop, folks. We're Al Sturm and the guys would love to help you with any kind of an accident you've had, getting the vehicle back into not just original equipment standards, but higher than that. In other words, let's get the vehicle looking better than it was before you had the accident. And you can do that by going to klzradio.com. You can also find their mobile estimating app right on their website. Again, find that at klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697.
As modern vehicles become safer and more technologically complex, collision repairs also become more specialized. You need an auto body shop that looks to the future, investing in the tools and training they need to fix your vehicle properly. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop have earned OE certifications for brand names like Subaru, Ford, and many others, ensuring you get the parts and service recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. After a collision, you want to get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition, which means you want the original parts from the manufacturer, not aftermarket parts. Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to earn new OE certifications all the time, so they can have access to all of the databases and software that come directly from the manufacturer. Your insurance company does not recommend auto body shops based on their certifications. Take control of the quality by choosing a certified auto body shop. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
We'll never win another Republican election again if you bail. You are needed now more than ever. And it's hard. I know it's hard. How do you think he feels? If Donald Trump is capable of a speech like that, what's your excuse? If he can do it, why can't you?
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we're back. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, and I'm going to answer that question, Andy, we're talking about here a moment ago. Real quick, though, we do have at 4:45, Cecilia Brewington is going to join us. She is actually a board-certified radiologist, and we're going to talk a little bit about colon cancer because, as we all know, every month there's a different cancer that we focus on throughout the year. Colon cancer happens to be one of those that we're focused on in March, so we'll give everybody a few tips on how you can actually get checked for that. And that's
great
something
idea.
That in my world is very near and dear to me, as you all know, some of my family situations. So we'll talk a little bit about that at 4:45. Okay, back to what Andy was saying a moment ago.
Okay.
And why I feel, Andy, why governmentally speaking, and I think even to a large extent, the populace in general, but I'm going to say this, and I mean this sincerely, I think the biggest problem we've got in dealing with all of this outside of the money and so on that happens in Washington, D.C., I get that. There's always that side of it, okay? And it's with everything, by the way.
Sure.
Doesn't matter with social media or anything else.
Yeah.
The money side is big. But I think on top of that, Andy, and I don't think I'm far off in saying this, I don't think the average senator or congressman or woman understands tech. I think they know how to use tech at times. I think they can tweet. I think they can use Facebook. But as far as how the actual interworkings of Facebook, algorithms, all the things that you and I are even talking
sure.
about right now, I don't think the average senator or congressperson, especially those that have been there for a very long time, and I'm just going to name some names. You take somebody like Hank Johnson that thinks Guam's going to tip over if you put too many Marines on it. Tell me that guy understands algorithms at Facebook. The answer is, of course he does it. And I could run down the list of politicians that I don't think have any clue what goes on technologically speaking, and I think that's frankly why we don't have some of the checks and balances in these areas we should have.
Can I take it a step further?
Sure.
I think it's also a very tough thing to explain to the masses.
Agree.
Okay.
Yes, agree.
It's hard to get the masses enraged about algorithms.
Because they don't understand
that are walling
them out.
They
don't even know what one is, Andy.
Right.
They don't even know the definition of one.
The bottom line here, no, and you're right.
Yeah.
The bottom line here is this. The very government, okay, that would be policing a platform to make sure it is fair in applying the standard is also the very government that would decide whether or not someone could be called a platform.
Right.
So either way, the government can be terribly unfair. So what I
and
say
in this
is,
case, I think it's even more unfair because they don't understand technology. It's almost like having, let me see if I can find the right.
No, you're right.
It would almost be like having the National Traffic Highway Safety Administration run by someone that knows nothing about cars and transportation.
It would be like Barney Fife being in charge
of the police academy.
Well, I was going to say, right? It would be like Barney Fife being in charge of catching online criminals.
Okay. But
because he has no idea what the crime is that's being committed.
Very well said.
He doesn't know what's being done.
Very well said. By the way, I think some of this even goes down to why, on a national level, we don't have more protections for, you know, sex trafficking and things along those lines. I think police forces and the FBI and others understand all of what goes on there and the technology behind it, you know, so on and so forth. But I don't think our leaders on Capitol Hill, Andy, and think about how long some of these guys have been in office. They've been in office long before the personal computer was ever even invented.
Yeah, they deal with budgeting. They deal with big bills that have to do with social issues. They deal with a lot of things that have nothing to do with tech.
That's right. And so in general, what I'm saying is they have no idea what some of this tech even is. Yeah, they know how to use an iPhone. Yeah, they know how to get voicemail. Yeah, they can send a tweet out or do Facebook. And even in some cases, I doubt they're the ones even doing that. Some aide probably is. At the end of the day, I'll be honest, Andy, I doubt if some of these guys even know how to load an app on their phone.
Totally agree. However, they do have techies working for them, and I do believe they need to have techies go in and look directly at these algorithms and say flat out, is this algorithm weeding people out on any other basis than what you put out in your policies, in your conduct policies, which clearly state obscenity, violence, and so forth? And do these things, do your algorithms in any way select ideologically? In other words, do you only have them look for white supremacist buzzwords and not for BLM buzzwords?
Right.
If you do that, sorry, you're not a platform.
You lose
your 230 protection. They can sue the pants off.
I'm not against you in that. I agree with that approach. Again, I still come back to the how. We're making it sound very simple. The how is big. You now have to find, hire, and again, we've now got a governmental agency, which I would rather see this privatized. I'd rather see an actual private organization be the ones that are outfunded by the government that are monitoring these things so we don't have the government actually doing it, because I think it gets even worse when you do that.
I want it put under Space Force. I'm kidding.
Actually, technologically speaking, that's not a half bad
idea.
Well,
they are the most technologically advanced.
Not a half bad idea. Purify Chevrolet's coming up next, folks. When you're looking to buy a new or used car or truck, we've got the place to go in Fort Lupton. You can shop online at purifychevrolet.com, or you can call direct 303-659-8311. But again, Purify Chevrolet in Fort Lupton. Call them today and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Going into the showroom at Purifoy Chevrolet, one of the things that struck me is that the people that work there, they're just regular people. You talk to the guy that's helping you, and you get the sense of, this is just another person. He wants to help me. He wants to make sure that I get the right car. He's asking the right questions, but without being pushy. I just get a sense that he's really invested in what I need to find for my family and for me.
Rolly Purifoy is not somebody who would ever brag about himself, but he has an incredible history with Chevrolet, and that's why he cares about those vehicles so much. He's actually been a test driver for some of the models, and he's even had some input in the design. If you just ask Rolly some questions about his history, he has the most fascinating stories. He's one of those owners who will just chat with you like an ordinary person. He's just one of those people you really need to meet. I would highly recommend Purifoy Chevrolet. They're a really remarkable group of people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith. And as we talk a lot about algorithms and things along those lines, Al's a guy that actually can use those same things when it comes to financial investing, the markets, where you need to be, how you get there, how you stay there, how do you stave off inflation and so on. And that's where Al comes in. 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
You don't need to worry about outliving your money or how to fund extended care. Your retirement plan with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial provides contingencies for big unexpected expenses or sudden losses in the stock market so you can rest easy. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, has spent more than 30 years listening to people's biggest worries about retirement, and he's ready to set your mind at ease. Al has always been a careful listener, and after decades of hearing people fret about whether or not their money would last, he decided to specialize in retirement planning so he could protect people from huge healthcare costs and market volatility. 16 years later, Al knows how to direct your assets to the right places, preserving your wealth for the rest of your life. Tell him your concerns, and he'll create a plan that will help you sleep well at night. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, and Al joining us as well is Dr. Cecilia Brewington. Cecilia, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we appreciate it very much. You're a professor and board-certified radiologist practicing at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, and a member of the American College of Radiology Colon Cancer Committee. And as we know, we highlight a different cancer every month throughout the year. This particular highlight in March happens to be, colon cancer. And you don't know my background, but we've got some family members in my world where we've been affected by some of this. So this is something I actually have a little bit of background, unfortunately, and have some knowledge of.
Well, it's unfortunate that it's due to a history, but I am glad that you've taken up this platform, because colorectal cancer is, for most people, one of the most preventable cancers that we have.
That's right.
And all we need to do is get everyone to screen.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. I was talking to Andy even during the break at the top of the hour, not chastising Andy, but, knowing his age and knowing he should have been checked by now, and we'll throw him under the bus here. He has not been.
He fired me.
I kindly informed him at the top of the hour as to why. But, for everybody else listening, Dr. Brewington, this is a big deal. And to your point, it is one of the most preventable cancers we have if folks will take that measure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we recognize as providers, as physicians, that people have different fears and apprehensions, and then we all have busy lives.
Right.
And so that's why I want to take out time to tell you today about CT colonography. It's another test that performs just as well as the traditional colonoscopy.
Okay, explain. Because we were trying to think through the beginning of this, and I didn't look it up on purpose because I wanted you to explain. But I understand the traditional colonoscopy and how that works. What's the difference? How does this work?
All right. So with CT colonography, as the name implies, it's actually a CT scan. Some people refer to it as virtual colonoscopy. And as you might imagine, healthcare has advanced to the point that we can take images using a CT scan of the inside of your colon.
Okay.
And by doing that, we can identify the precursors for cancer, which are called polyps.
Right.
If we identify it, we can have it removed, and it prevents the cancer from ever forming. And that's really how we prevent cancer in the majority of people. I say the majority of people because we do have some who are predisposed to form cancers, and they have to screen earlier, they have to be followed more frequently, but the majority of us need to be screened at age 45. That's right, it's 45
now.
Wow.
It used to be 50, right?
That's right. As of last year, the American Cancer Society changed that recommendation to age 45.
Okay.
Let me tell you a little bit more about CT colonography. So you still have to do the bowel prep. And when I say bowel prep, you still have to drink before the test, day before the test, to clean out your colon. And that just, that goes without saying, we need to be able to see things. So we've got to clean out that colon.
Okay. Now,
you take a prep the day before.
Okay.
You come into a radiology department. You don't need a driver. You're not going to be put to sleep.
Okay.
You lie on the table for about 20 minutes while we take those images, and then we can process those images and see the inside of the colon and determine if there's any need to do anything more, like remove a polyp.
Okay.
It may be for many of us that we find nothing, and you come back again in 5 years.
Okay, so do you, during this particular process, does the patient have to, you know, drink a solution, you know, like you would do for a heart test or anything along those lines, or is it strictly just imaging of what's there?
This is just imaging of what's there. The only thing you had to drink was the night before to clean out your colon, just as you do with the traditional colonoscopy. When you actually go in for the CT scan, there's no IVs, there's no contrast. It's just lying on the table in one direction. We do have to inflate your colon, all right? And what that means is that we take a small little pencil-sized diameter tube. We do have to insert it into your rectum, but it's pencil-sized, and we use that to inflate your colon with CO2, or carbon dioxide.
Right.
All right? And so for some, that may feel make you feel a little bloated, but it generally doesn't cause pain. That takes, again, from start to finish, about 20 minutes. That's the inflating of the colon, the lying on the table, turning from side to side, and we scan you.
What's, I guess, speaking out loud, knowing how an actual, you know, regular colonoscopy works and the fact that if there's a polyp there, they can just usually take care of that at the same time. In this case, if you have a polyp, you're going to go in and do what I just said, you know, I guess after the fact. So I guess question for you, Dr. Brewington, what's the negatives of doing it this way as far as a CT scan versus the other way?
All right. So the negative is going to be just that. If there is a negative to identify, it's going to be that if we find a polyp, you do have to come back in and get a traditional colonoscopy.
Okay.
Frequently, centers will allow you to do that on the same day.
Okay.
When we're working alongside gastroenterologists, the radiologist and the gastroenterologist running a program together, so you don't have to do the, repeat the bowel cleanse.
Okay.
But in the majority, we're not going to find polyps. We're going to find a clean colon. So it's only when you have a polyp that needs to be removed that you have to come back and have that removed.
Now, I also know that, Dr. Brewington, that there is also genetics that, you know, play into all of this as well. And those of us that have had family members with, you know, colon cancer, that's a heightened awareness that we need to be aware of and so on. And I guess that would be a question for you. Is that something where, you know, people really should do some investigative work in their own family tree to find out if, you know, colon cancer is something that's been prevalent, or do they just do their screenings every 5 years and not worry about it?
No, absolutely. I would always encourage you to find out your family history, because we have found over time in medicine, in the practice of medicine, that there are so many predispositions towards disease states and cancers. And the more you know about your family history, the better protected you can be. In the case of colorectal cancer, for example, if you have a first-degree relative, first degree meaning a brother, a sister, a mother, a father that had colorectal cancer, then anyone who is a first degree relative in that situation should actually undergo screening 10 years ahead of the age in which that family member was diagnosed with colorectal cancer.
Right.
So no, that's why it's important.
Makes sense. No, that does make sense. Okay, one last question for you. I know we're getting tight on time here, but I want to get this in. Given the fact that, you know, colon cancer is one of those cancers, I don't want to say that it's, you know, 100% curable, but let's face it, Dr. Brewington, it is one of the cancers that if we catch it early enough, we do have a really high chance of beating that cancer. And I guess a question for you, and maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't, why? Why is this one of those cancers that if we catch it early enough, we can typically, you know, recover from it?
Well, that's like, there are several cancers like that, and that's because your survival rate, and I hate to be so morbid, but survival rate depends on how extensive the disease is when we discover it.
Okay.
So with colon cancer, if we discover it early, when it's still a mass that hasn't penetrated several layers of the colon, doesn't have extension to lymph nodes, et cetera,
okay.
then there's a direct correlate with how long your survival will be.
Okay.
And so early detection is important. Perfect. But prevention is even more important.
All right. How do in closing, how do folks find out more? In other words, if they want to check into this locally, you know, find a location near them, how do they do that, Dr. Brewington?
So I'm going to give you two sites. You can go to www.AACR.org/MyCTC to find the nearest virtual colonoscopy near you. Or you can go to radiologyinfo.org.
Okay.
That's radiologyinfo.org for more information.
Perfect. This is great. Dr. Brewington, thank you very much, and you're welcome anytime. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for bringing this to everyone's attention.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening. And folks, yes, that is a big deal. As those of you know, in my own family, we've got cancer and different forms and different things. And by the way, I think the majority of Americans know, at least know someone, if not have someone in your own family that either has or does, either has or has died of cancer. So this really affects a lot of us listening. So please get that done if you would. Barber's Foods is next, folks. And Greg Bloom will join us here a little later in the week. And he's got everything you can imagine when it comes to meat. Just go to barbersfoods.com. And there's some great specials there. Go check it out. Find out about the ambassador program as well. It's barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barber's Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, and yes, I know that some of what we talk about when it comes to some of those medical things gets a little bit weird sometimes because we talk about things that, you know, you normally don't talk about around the dinner table, but it's important.
We all have bodies, John.
And we got to make sure we take care of that. Yeah, thank you, Andy. Yes, we need to make sure we take care of those. It's very important. We talk about COVID, folks, all the time. We talk about the people that have died in COVID. You know, we've got statistics in the U.S. of 500,000. Guess what? We can talk about heart disease and cancer and other things that are far, far, far larger than COVID, and we get very little airtime to those things. So we'll be back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.